right. You can take your Bibles, please, this morning and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I know that's not what it says in your bulletin this morning, but last night, I guess around 11 o'clock, I was praying and kind of the Lord laid on my heart, you know that message that you planned to preach this morning? That's not the one. And all week long, though, as I was working and preparing that message, I thought to myself, when I got to last night, I thought, you know, this thing's really not ready for prime time. And so the Lord laid something else on my heart last night to preach on this morning. I'm not sure why, but it's just something he has laid on my heart to preach on this morning. So that's what I'm going to share with you this morning. I do have one prayer request that somebody gave to me while I was shaking hands. We want to pray for Jeff Gordon. That's Debbie's husband. Some of you would know her as Debbie Boudelier, but it's the Bob and Carol's son-in-law. Anyway, he has heart issues and things like that. Anyway, his blood pressure has dropped quite low, and he's experienced a lot of dizziness this morning. So they just asked us to pray for Jeff. And so let's be praying for him this morning. I'll mention him as we pray over the message as well. But our verse we want to consider this morning is just the last verse of Ephesians chapter 4, where it says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God and for the opportunity to look into the Scriptures this morning. Teach us and instruct us in the things that you would have us to learn. And Lord, we do pray for Jeff. We pray that whatever is the problem this morning, that you'd send a special touch his way and meet this need. We pray that his blood pressure would come back to normal, and we pray that the dizziness would go away. And so, Lord, we commit him to you this morning. Now, again, speak to our hearts from the Scriptures. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Years ago, there was a very famous television program that I'm sure many of you are familiar with. That program was called The Incredible Hulk. Remember that program? The television program starred the late Bill Bixby as a fugitive scientist that had the curse of becoming this powerful green monster under extreme emotional stress. And Bill Bixby, who was not, you know, a large man in size, of course, he became the large bodybuilder Lou Ferrigno, who played the Incredible Hulk. But in that series, Bill Bixby, who played the scientist Bruce Banner, would often say this: "You wouldn't like me when I get angry. You wouldn't like me when I get angry." Well, while we enjoyed watching this television transformation take place before our very eyes, the fact is we have often seen people that got angry and allowed the monster of anger within them to come out. Now, the question that I want us to look at this morning is, where does this anger come from? But before I tell you where this anger comes from, I must tell you that there are two kinds of anger, right? There is, number one, good anger, right? The Bible says in Ephesians 4:26, "Be ye angry and sin not." There are some things that cause us to get angry, and this is good. We should get angry when we see helpless children being abused. We should get angry, I think, when we see innocent animals being abused. We should get angry when we see the elderly being abused. We should get angry when poor people are taken advantage of in the society in which we live. There are many things that should cause us to get angry. But we should get angry at the right thing. But there's also what we would call bad anger. And only God knows how much bad anger has done to destroy lives. Our prisons are full of people that did not know how to control their anger. Our hospitals are filled with people that didn't know how to control their anger, and it's caused them serious health problems. Our cemeteries are filled with people that didn't know how to control their anger, and it has sent them to an early grave. And our divorce courts are filled with people that didn't know how to control anger, and it destroyed their marriage. Bad anger is an emotional reaction to something in the wrong way. And I'll tell you this, we can be literally consumed by emotions, both good and bad, such as our love for someone or something, or our anger towards someone or something, or our jealousy over someone or something, or our joy over someone or something. And these emotions can turn our lives upside down and inside out to the point where it seems that we don't have any control over them. And I guess my point is, we are emotional people. And good anger and bad anger are a result of us responding emotionally. Now, I asked you a moment ago, where does our anger come from? Well, would it shock you if I told you that some of our anger comes from God? Throughout the scriptures, God reveals that he experiences emotion by expressing them in love and anger and jealousy and joy. And why is it important that we understand that we serve a God of many emotions? It's because we are all made in the image of God. And we experience these same emotions that God experiences. We love because God loves. We get angry because God gets angry. We get jealous because God gets jealous. We get sad because God gets sad. And we get joyful because God gets joyful. And we, when it comes to anger, we get our anger in two places. Our good anger, that comes from God. It is a controlled anger. And our bad anger comes from Satan, and that is an uncontrolled anger. And today's society seems to have so much bad anger in it. We see anger in homes in America. You know, anger has become such a problem that now we have people attending anger management classes. And we have a lot of anger in homes today. Husbands are angry with their wives, and wives are angry with their husbands, and parents are angry with their children, and the children are angry with their parents. We see a lot of anger in homes today. And we see anger in public. And people don't even try to hide their anger in public anymore. Pam and I were having lunch at Beef Barn last week, and we saw quite the display of anger going on in one of the booths. Everybody in the restaurant saw the display of anger, and they didn't. And this lady didn't think twice about airing all of her dirty laundry in public. And we see that a lot. You know, we got television programs like the Jerry Springer show. You know, that take advantage of people that argue and fight in anger. You know, about their relationship problems. And you know, you'd think they'd be ashamed of for people to know all of the, you know, their relationship problem. But instead, they go on national television and let the whole world know. And so we see a lot of the airing of dirty laundry in our day and age. We see a lot of anger in public. And then we see anger in the business world, right? And a lot of times that anger in the business world, it comes because of misunderstanding between people in the business world. Now, I want to share this little story with you. I thought this was so funny. It really is not a business illustration, but it does involve a business. I read this thing the other day about a lady that sent a postcard to the Cairo Corn Syrup Company. Are you familiar with Cairo Corn Syrup? They sell it in all the stores. Anyway, she sent a postcard to the Cairo Corn Syrup Company and said this. I mean, this. She was angry when she sent this postcard. She said, "I just want you people to know that I have used 3 bottles of your corn syrup and the corn on my little toe is still growing." And anyway, I just thought that was a funny story. I had to share that with you this morning. But we do see anger in, in the business world. And you know what? We see anger on highways, don't we? Oh, my goodness. It's crazy driving these days, right? Anger, and anger often leads to, aggressive driving and accidents. Think about it. We live in a day and age where we have coined the term road rage. That was not a phrase that was known before this day and age. We've now coined that term, road rage. So we see anger on the highways. And then we see anger in our learning institutions. You know, it absolutely breaks my heart to hear on the news over and over again now of some student that has become angry over something and has gone to school and shot innocent students. May God deliver us from that. May God deliver us from that. So anger can be a major problem. And we need to ask God to help us overcome anger, because this is a big monster that lives within all of us, and he wants to rise up and take over our lives. So how can we control this monster called anger that lives within us? Well, first, let's begin this morning by looking at the definition of anger. I looked this up in Webster's dictionary last night, and it said this about anger, the definition of anger. It says, that feeling of displeasure and hostility resulting from injury, mistreatment, or opposition. And when we allow bad anger to control us, it does three things. First of all, it destroys our health. Doctors tell us that anger will cause high blood pressure, fast heart rate, headaches, stomach aches, skin rash, circulatory problems, aggravation of existing physical symptoms, depression, and violent behavior. And many have gone to an early grave because they could not control anger in their lives. And so it can destroy our health. Secondly, it can destroy our thinking. When a person becomes angry, they don't think normally, and they tend to say things and do things that they later regret. You know, on a debate team, they teach you to try and get your opponent angry, if it's at all possible. Because when a person gets angry, it affects their breathing and their blood pressure, and they cannot think like they normally think. Have you ever gotten angry at someone and you wanted to tell that person off, but you couldn't think clearly? However, when you got home and settled down, you thought of all kinds of things you had wished you had said. When we get angry, our muscles become tense and the blood in our bodies surges to our brains and floods our brains, and we can't think normally, and we end up flying off the handle, and that never ends well. Will Rogers used to say this: whenever you fly into a rage, you seldom make a safe landing. That is absolutely true. Amen to that. So bad anger destroys our thinking. But maybe even more importantly, bad anger destroys our testimony. Our testimony. God wants us to overcome anger so that we can have a strong testimony. I have a pastor friend who tells this story. He tells a story about how he woke up one morning and everything that could go wrong did go wrong. He had a speaking engagement and he overslept. And he cut his face as he was hastily shaving. He banged his toe on the bedpost. He spilled coffee on his tie. He slammed the door on the cat's tail on his way out. and he ran over the trash can backing out of the driveway. And as he was hurrying to keep his appointment, he was pulled over for speeding. And he was so angry at the way things were going that when the police officer walked up to his car, he just hollered out, "This is the worst day of my life." And the response of the officer was, "Sir, I understand how you feel. I used to have days like that until I became a Christian." My pastor friend, needless to say, was very embarrassed by the response that he had given to his bad day. See, there is nothing so unbecoming for us as Christians as displaying the wrong kind of anger. Proverbs 19:19 says, "A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment." And Ephesians 4:26 says, "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." And so we've looked at the definition of anger. Now, let's look at the deliverance from anger. Now, we're told that there are three ways that people can respond to anger. First of all, some people just try to suppress it, right? They hold it in, they hide it, they push it down, they try to keep it quiet. You know, kind of like Mr. Spock from the old Star Trek show. Remember, he was a man, a Vulcan. Is that what he was in the show? You know, the guy with the pointy ears and everything. But he was supposed to be a man who had no emotions, right? He never displayed any emotions. And some people try to deal with their anger that way. They push it down. They suppress it. They try to hide it. The only problem is that doesn't work because eventually it's going to come popping back out somewhere. That just doesn't work. Okay. And then, of course, you have the people who just express it, right? They express their feelings. They are hotheads going around just blowing their stack, letting everyone know how they feel about something or someone. And you don't have to ask them how they feel about something or someone because they're going to express it without you asking. Some people want everyone to know that they know how to express their anger. Some of them are quick to tell you, "Hey, when I have something to say, I say it right to your face." And sometimes you want to say, "Didn't your parents ever teach you that some things are better left unsaid?" My parents taught me that. Didn't your parents teach you that? Some things are better left unsaid. So it's not good to just constantly be going around expressing your anger. So what is the answer? That's where the third thing comes in. The biblical answer. The right answer. And that is, confess it. Confess it. Tell God you're angry. Quit trying to pretend that you think he doesn't know it. Confess it. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you live in anger, God knows it. And most likely, those who live with you know it. Years ago, Pam used to get this little magazine called Today's Christian Woman. I don't think she gets it anymore. And it'd be funny. She used to catch me reading it, you know, because I had five of them women in my house. I needed to try and figure them out, you know. So I would read Today's Christian Woman. But anyway, years ago, I cut out this little blurb, a little short thing by a lady named Kathy Fusell, and in it she tells how she is able to keep her anger under control. Let me just read this little thing to you. She says, "I have found that if I don't have my quiet time with the Lord each morning, I tend to lose my temper over insignificant things. Recently, my son Andrew reminded me of the need for daily prayer. He had accidentally spilled his drink, and I went into a tirade. Andrew ended my harsh words when he quietly asked, 'Mommy, did you forget to ask Jesus to help you to be nice today?'" So I think the Bible answer is confess your anger to God and then ask God to help you forgive that person that has wronged you. Because if you don't, that monster in your life will continue to grow, and it will affect your health,
your happiness, your family, your testimony. This monster has to be killed. And the only way to kill it is with forgiveness. Now you might say, well, preacher, I can't forgive. Well, you know, in Italian, we have a word for that. It's called B-O-L-O-G-N-A. Baloney. Baloney. The problem is you don't want to forgive. You think it's a weapon you can use to hurt the one that has offended you. But you're only hurting God, and you're hurting yourself. Because let me tell you, the person you're angry at is not miserable over the fact that you're not forgiving them. You're the one that's miserable over it. It's hurting you to harbor that strife and that bitterness and that anger and that hurt in yourself. We must learn to confess that anger and then forgive people for the things they've done to us. I'm thinking of something Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. He said, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And basically it comes down to this. What gives us the right to expect God to forgive us of our many offenses when we will not forgive someone for something they did to offend us? I think that's a pretty good question to consider. Let me say it one more time. What gives us the right to expect God to forgive us of our many offenses when we are not willing to forgive someone for something they did to offend us? So, bad anger will ruin your health, your happiness, your family, your testimony. And the answer is, confess it to God and offer forgiveness to others. I want to leave you with the verse I read at the very beginning, Ephesians 4:32. "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." That is the key to deliverance from this monster called anger. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning and the things we have seen in the scriptures. And I trust that this very simple, very practical lesson will strike home in each one of our hearts and lives so that we won't go around being angry people, but instead we can be forgiving people and have peace and joy in our heart and not be miserable over carrying strife and bitterness and grudges and hatred within our heart. Lord, those are not the kind of things that you want us to have in our lives. And so help us to bring our anger to you, to confess it, and then give us strength, give us courage, give us wisdom to show forgiveness to others for the things they've done for us, just like you have shown forgiveness to us for the things we've done against you. Help us to take this, Lord, and apply it to our lives in a practical way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.